If we cannot get genuine democracy at this stage, we'd rather keep the status quo and we'll soldier on.
Claudia Mo, Hong Kong legislator, Civic Party founding member, attended the protests on Sunday. Former journalist, thanks so much for joining us, speaking to us from Hong Kong. And that does it for the broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Berkner, Nate Peltz, Aramati, Nirmi Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Ravi Karan, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with our hosts Abe Proctor and Joe Uris.
KBOO Community Radio and Sante Aesthetics and Wellness are proud to co-sponsor A Touch of Portland 2014. The event takes place Sunday, September 7th, and is a great way to detox after a long summer. Whether you're getting back from Labor Day weekend or decompressing from the burn, this is a great way to stay healthy through dance, foods, and multiple healing modalities. That's A Touch of Portland, Sunday, September 7th at Northwest 17th and Davis. Go to kboo.fm/touchofportland for more information on this event.
Do you worry that corporate power is totally out of control? Tune into the KBOO Evening News every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. beginning August 5th to hear the new weekly commentary by yours truly, Paul Cienfuegos. I'll be sharing stories about communities that are rising up against corporate control and passing laws that exercise their right to govern themselves. That's every Tuesday on the KBOO Evening News beginning August 5th. Don't miss it.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Two Rivers, One City, Tuesday, September 9th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Charles Jordan Community Center in Portland. The Willamette and the Columbia Rivers provide sustenance, recreation, and economic benefits to our region. Yet these rivers are burdened with a legacy of industrial pollution and threatened with a future of toxic contamination. The Two Rivers, One City event will bring a broad network of river users together to share their stake in clean water. The event will include an overview of the various environmental justice issues related to the Portland Harbor Superfund cleanup and the oil by rail projects along the Columbia. Again, that's Two Rivers, One City, Tuesday, September 9th at the Charles Jordan Community Center, 9009 North Foss Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Northwest Connector, connecting riders to the Oregon coast through daily round-trip bus routes from Portland, Salem, and Corvallis. Northwest Connector buses are equipped with bike racks and offer 3-day and 7-day passes with transfers up and down the coast. Schedules and trip planner at nwconnector.net.
Far away and long ago, a powerful Soviet empire rose and captured the hearts, the minds, and the people of Eastern Europe and of Asia. And we feared it, and we built bombs against it, and it built bombs against us, and we nearly had nuclear devastation, nuclear winters. But the Soviet empire was not a practical empire, and it collapsed for a variety of reasons, which we will not go into here. With that collapse, with that failing, came vast and hugely important changes. Now, Ukraine, once one of the most important Soviet republics, the place where the bloodlands were located, where the slaughter of millions of people, Jews, Ukrainians, Soviet troops, Germans, all took place during the period prior to and during World War II. Yes, and then it gets worse, far, far worse. In an effort to stabilize the region, in 94, an agreement was made called the Budapest Memorandum, which denuclearized the region. This is, of course, after the terrible, terrible disaster of the nuclear power plant in Ukraine. And it gets worse. Ukraine's government has variously been more and more right-wing, weirdly, nearly close to fascist in its attitudes toward Russia. And the Russians have responded with an incredible aggressive pattern in which they've seized Crimea and now look like they really want to grab the southern part of Ukraine. It's real, it's happening, and here we all are again. But, if that ain't enough, folks, and I do want to talk about this today, if that ain't enough, there's a little corner of Russia. Take your map out and look to the Baltic, look to the northern seas, look to the western edges of Russia. And what do you see? You see the newly liberated Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia. And over, further west, an isolated part of what once was East Prussia, known as Kaliningrad, once known as Konigsberg. And the Kaliningrad Oblast, as it's known, is the only warm water port, that is all year long port in the Baltic Sea for Russia. And it's isolated physically, isolated from Russia itself. Now, here's my horrible prediction. If the government of Putin really plans to do what it seems to be planning to do and challenge the power of NATO and challenge the West in general, that corridor will be part of the challenge. I bring this up not to encourage war fever, but to remind us all of the interconnectedness of our policies and the horrors and unresolved conflicts that bedevil us today. And by the way, there's a few other things I wanted to throw out here. There's the Ukrainian war. Meanwhile, there's the incredibly vicious war of ISIL or ISIS. In Iraq and in Syria, and a desire clearly on their part to create a caliphate, which is a mean government where people are crucified, they're buried alive, they're shot, they're tortured, women are seized and mistreated. Lots of bad stuff. And then there's at home a need for something that is really obvious. That is that all police departments everywhere in the United States should have cameras on their uniforms and cameras in their cars to put an end to allegations of, and in fact, events of a sort where the police abuse their power. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. I decided that today I really want to hone in on the potential problems for a World War III in Europe, of all places, And I want to remind you, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. Abe ain't here. It's just me, Joe. You can call me at 231-8187. I'd really like to zoom in on and pay some attention to the crisis in Crimea and the crisis along the borders of the former Soviet Union and the peculiar area which was in East Prussia, which is totally isolated but part of Russia, called Kaliningrad Oblast. Let's hear from you. Oh, hey, it says here, my producer just handed me, so maybe it's not even an issue right now. Ferguson cops will start wearing body cameras this week. I didn't know that. Whoa, that's an improvement, I think. I think that's a nice device because it resolves the question of whether there was police brutality or not and whether there was challenging police authority in an inappropriate way or not. Okay, I want to dump that topic, but I want to stay on this question of what's happening with Russia and the United States and the enormous pressure of the Republican war machine to get us involved in what looks to me like very possibly a shooting war, NATO on our side and Russia on the other, the gamble of Putin to encourage nationalism within his own country to make himself more popular and to gain really important strategic access in both the southern part of the of West Russia and the northern part of West Russia in what used to be East Prussia. Oh, follow this on your map. 231-8187. Let's talk about that. Let's really talk about the fact that we could be seeing a revival of Cold War traditions and a weird, weird reassumption of a power quest by Russia in the form of a non-democratic and non-pretending to be socialist government that becomes purely nationalist and becomes much more like an empire and less pretentiously like a revolution. This is happening. This is happening now. And we are looking at this and realizing, all of us are realizing, that NATO is about to put together a force of 4,000 troops to challenge Russian power, probably in the Ukraine, but that border is long and the dangers are great. And the United States is not really ready, I don't think, or eager, nor should it be, to get into World War III. Let's hear from you, 231-8187. Roger, you're on the air.
Oh, I just think you're wrong about Kaliningrad. I mean, I know it is cut off, but they do have St. Petersburg on the Baltic. And that is...
Oh, you're thinking of it as a... I think it's not all year round, though.
Well, no, it is, but it doesn't matter. They would have to go through NATO countries of Latvia or Lithuania to get to it. Mm-hmm. Belarus is over there. I think the reason that they went after Crimea was obviously that NATO has taken over Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and all the countries along the former Iron Curtain. Mm-hmm. And Ukraine was the last domino in the pack. And they Putin said enough already. So he took Crimea, and now he wants access to Crimea. You know.
Well, maybe actually, if you look at the map, there is some access.
To Kaliningrad. I don't think you have to worry about that. So
okay, you're
anyway,
freeing
that's all I'm
me.
Saying. Because Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia are all NATO countries, and you have to go through them to get to Kaliningrad. You know, it's inconvenient, but I don't think they're going to be fighting over that anytime soon.
Well, you may be right. I may be an alarmist
anyway,
here.
That's all I wanted to say.
No, and I appreciate the comment.
Oh, by the way, can I say one thing?
Sure.
Just in general, you have a talk show. You need other points of view. You should just say accept people's points of view and not always say, oh, I think you're wrong. I think I'm right. You know, come on. Accept other points of view. That's the point of having a talk show.
Well, I think that's a good criticism.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I hope you do follow Heidi's suggestion to get some other Muslim voices in. That was on Friday, I know. But that
was
interesting exchange there.
Yeah, actually okay. It was. And thank you very much for the call.
And thank you one more thing for answering my call and not putting me on hold.
Well, that's some of which I have no power.
Well, that's
some of which I have no power.
That's why you do have power. Anyway, thank you, Joe.
I see a strange pattern emerging here where there was an opportunity to neutralize Ukraine. And the original Budapest Accord, which denuclearized that region, was the beginning of that pattern. But that has not matured. It has not stayed stable. And we do know that there has been a variety of governments in Ukraine, some of which have been pretty right-wing. And we do know that Putin is driven by his own need for popularity and for nationalist sentiment. And this is part of the reason for the advance of the Russians in the area of southern Ukraine. So this is a war, and it's real, and it's something we need to think about. Apparently, Russia has been flying nuclear-capable bombers near Alaska, testing our radar responses. Well, they used to do that. I don't know how significant that is. But I do see the very real possibility of NATO force, this new 4,000-person force, ending up engaging directly with the Russian army. And that, you know, the thing about wars is that they often take place by miscalculation. And it's very possible that that will go on until we're in a conflagration out of control. So I raise the question with all of you out there and ask you, what should we do in relation to the Russian, to the accusations of Russian aggression and to the struggle over Ukraine? I remind you all of the history of that region, which is very bloody, very sad, very horrible. And I really am concerned. Meanwhile, you know, that's not the only war. Of course, there's ISIS or ISIL in its engagement to try to create a caliphate. You know, when the stupid Bush people knocked out the horrible Saddam Hussein regime, they did not replace it with a democracy. They replaced it with chaos. They dismissed the civil service. They dismissed the army. They created a huge volume of unemployed civil servants and military people. And some of them now are forming alliances with ISIS or ISIL in that region. So there is nothing that one can say about the Bush administration's behavior, the Cheney, I should call it, administration's behavior, except, oh boy, what a lot of mistakes they made, except, of course, that they assumed we'd get the oil, which may or may not happen. Meanwhile, there is a very great possibility that Iraq may be divided into three countries along ethnic lines, which usually leads to all kinds of ethnic strife. Look at India and Pakistan, for example, when a division was made. And I worry. I worry about that, and I worry about where we're going in general. Also, I want to be clear about something. I, when I'm on my own on this show, try to get as many opinions as possible in, and Abe agrees with that and often works on that himself. I welcome criticism not only of the show, which I call meta-criticism, but also a reminder of the fact that it really is a chance for you to talk to us. So speak up, 231-8187. We're going to focus in on what I think is the next very real possibility. Recent caller disagreed that there may be an effort by Russia to grab off some land, to have a landline, straight land opportunity, to go to Kaliningrad Oblast, which is essentially the old Königsberg of the East Prussian tradition. 231-8187. Who we have? Morris. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm wondering if your stance on what's going on in the Ukraine is some kind of a gag, because it really sounds like you're trying to pretend to be NPR or CBS or ABC or MSNBC with your diatribe. I mean, I was very disgusted when I heard you and Abe talking about the shooting down of the airliner, and you were convinced that it was the separatists that had done it because you read it in the New York Times. I mean, my God, man, what...
well, no, that's a good criticism.
Have you checked out on what's been going on in the last 15 years?
No, I appreciate that criticism. How do you perceive the situation?
I've seen videotape from the people that are suffering in Ukraine right now from the bombings that, you know, wiping out civilian houses, civilian, you know, infrastructure there, and that certainly is not the separatists.
No.
And I'm wondering if you've even heard of something called the right sector.
No, tell me.
See, you're very misinformed here, man. You need to tighten up your wig.
Okay, go for it.
Because they're openly fascist. They're Jew-hating fascists. They have no qualms about stating this publicly.
Who is they in that sentence?
The right sector, which
okay.
has a substantial presence now in the government of Ukraine, which, by the way, was a coup government.
That's
they
true.
They overthrew the previous office holder there because, you know, and they're backed by the United States. The openly fascist people are backed by the United States, and I can't believe it on KABU. I'm not hearing more about this. I'm hearing what the mainstream media, I'm hearing a parroting of the mainstream media about what's going on in Ukraine.
Okay, now here we are talking about it, and I'm inviting you to make me more whole.
Well, first of all, since you don't know about the right sector, I mean, right there, that proves my point to some extent, because that's common knowledge. You go to world media, you can find out about the right sector. It's not hidden.
Okay, well, you're making me put on a defensive mode. I do know about the right sector.
I asked you, and you said you didn't.
Well, look, in terms of the performance that is happening right now on this radio station, I'm trying to get you and others to talk about this. My ignorance, whether feigned or real, is less relevant than your positions. So, two things. You can spend time criticizing my ignorance, or better yet, I think, inform our audience of what you perceive to be the truth.
Well,
kind of up to you, man.
First of all, given the United States' role in the world and what I'm sure you have some inclination to, be interested in, the fact that they're backing, fascists right off the bat should say, well, no, wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't just accept what I read in the New York Times. Maybe I should dig a little further. Maybe I should go to world media and look at, what people there on the ground are saying. I mean, my brother has a friend who has relatives in Ukraine, and he's been monitoring emails that, shock him. These people are talking about buying guns for the first time in their lives because these fascists that are out in the countryside basically, repeating what took place in World War II Germany. I mean, it's incredible. And the fact that, on your show, you seem to just accept the fact that the mainstream media, the United States of America, is giving the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth.
Okay, I understand your criticism. I think there's some great validity to it. But the point I'm making here for you is that this is your opportunity to set us straight.
Well, I tried to. I tried to, describe the right sector, and you led me astray by saying you didn't even know what it was. So, that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay, when you use the term right sector, that can be confusing to me. What you're talking about is the rise of...
That's their name. That's their chosen name. That's not something I'm using to describe them.
Okay, but remember that the audience we're talking to, for the most part, is very ignorant of all of this, and apparently, according to you, so am I. So here's your chance to help us. Don't get outraged. Get informing. Okay.
So what do you want to know from me?
What I want to know from you is the right sector is apparently a revanchist fascist movement similar to what existed in the Ukraine historically for several generations, right? And that's just a rise of that.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. They are openly
anti-Semitic and
of Hitler and his philosophy and they. They march through the streets and they do all that, typically, Neanderthal kind of thing.
Right. Okay. I think that's true. And I think it's very important. And I think that I think you're assuming somehow that I take the U.S. position on this.
Well,
I do not.
You certainly seem to when it came to the shooting down of the airliner, which for some unknown reason seems to have disappeared from the media all of a sudden.
A good point. The only information I had indicated that the probability was that the airliner had been shot down by the Ukrainians. Now, not by the Ukrainians, pardon me, but by the...
They're saying the separatists shot it down with, if you look at world media, there's a fair amount of evidence that the odds are actually in favor of the Ukrainian government having the capability of shooting down that airliner and not the separatists. But
well, that's a good point.
According to the New York Times.
Okay, that's a good point. How now, looking at the situation from your perspective and from what I think is a very reasonable concern over the rise of fascism in the region, what is to be done? What should the role?
Well, I look to KABU for some alternative information here so that KABU listeners can become informed because, short of being more informed about what's going on in the world, mm-hmm. I don't have any big answers as to what can be done. But I certainly, and I think you should too, I'm very skeptical of the United States of America at this point. I take very little pride in the flag because I see, you know, what the United States has been doing, you know, for decades now. And certainly, U.S. citizens, as you pointed out, are probably pretty ignorant and probably, for a lot of various reasons, our schooling and our lifestyle here. And, you know, I always recall Dick Cheney's statement, the American lifestyle is not negotiable. Well, I think it is very negotiable, and it better damn well be negotiated in the near future, which I think really points to the fact of how important it is for American citizens to start getting informed about what's really going on.
Okay, do you feel that you have been able to contribute to the conversation and to the information right now, here? On the radio.
I think that if anybody's listening to this and they're curious about, you know, what maybe is presented in the U.S. media as truth, they certainly, you know, should call in or at least start asking some questions.
Okay, do you have a specific online source that you think is the most straightforward and honest?
Well, you know,
or set of
that's
symptoms?
Hard, Joe, anymore to make that kind of a statement, but I certainly, there's lots of alternative viewpoints out there, and you know, I've seen video that is not presented anywhere in the mainstream media in this country. So there's definitely alternatives online or otherwise. I mean, even on satellite TV.
Sure. Now, first of all, I think your criticism is valid. I'm trying to recall back on all these shows. I think I am one of those people who's concerned over the revising of the Soviet orientation, Soviet-style orientation in the region, and the ambitions of Putin. I think that's all real, number one. Number two, I also understand the enormous fascist history, which I thought we did in a couple of shows, that is a part of, unfortunately, part of the history of the Ukraine. We talked about the bloodlands and so on. I agree that I probably have not argued with the mainstream media enough, apparently from your perspective and possibly from my own when I think about it, that we have not presented alternative points of view. On the other hand, when I raise the question of Russian ambitions in the region, I can't dismiss them either. I see it all as a mess. I see NATO as a terrible mess. I have said, and will say again, that the answer to the problem of that region would have been to create neutrality rather than NATO-ishness or Russian-ness, and it didn't happen. We missed that opportunity. 94 was probably the year when that could have happened. Didn't happen. It didn't happen because of American desire to be triumphant in the face of the collapse of the Soviet Union. And I agree with you. I think we do not have an adequate discussion of the advance of a kind of fascism in that region. I do not agree with people who say, well, don't worry about what's going to happen in the Baltic. I do worry. I think the...
It's extremely important.
Yeah, I think the ambitions of Putin, which we can't really know, seem to be a consolidation of power in Russia without really developing a more sane system, and using the nationalist flag, as it were, planting that flag in what was part of the old Soviet Union. And that's a great concern. Now, the response of NATO is insane. The notion to put 4,000 troops at risk in Ukraine or elsewhere, that's not going to get it. That's not going to solve the problem. It is an enormously knotty problem, and it really is the product of 50 years of stupid policy on the part of the U.S.
Right, and you know, I've taken up too much time, and I'd like to hear other people talk.
Sure.
But I want to leave you with this point, that the fact that the government's in place now in Ukraine is a coup government, and the coup took place, if you recall, and I forget the guy's name, the previous president or premier of Ukraine, mm-hmm, stood up to NATO. He did not want to, you know, abide by NATO, you know, policy. And in my opinion, that's the reason that the coup took place. So
no, I think you're probably right. I'm not sure that you're right, but I think you are.
Yeah.
And I really thank you for the call. And I'm welcoming all this criticism and information because, hey,
well, it's the way for people to start, you know, taking a different view of the world. And
absolutely. Absolutely, man.
All right. Thank you.
Very cool. And I just was handed this reminder that the current leader of the right sector is Dmitry Yarosy. Yarosh, pardon me, Dmitry Yarosh, and is known to be alive, allied with Svoboda and other right-wing forces. So, and in Russia as well. So, you know, we really do have a situation here in which there's a reigniting, not of socialism or some kind of collectivist society, but of nationalism in what was and could be seen as the former Russian, not Soviet, empire. And I want to hear from you on this. And what we, first of all, I want to have more information. Second of all, I want to know if you have, any of you have, some idea of what it is that needs to be done, and is it at all possible that a disaster can be avoided in this particular region? Call us. Call me. Joe Uris here at KBOO 231-8187. John, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Joe. Well, let me give you just some basic information.
Cool.
I think a good source for all information on this is antiwar.com. You know that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They have press articles from all over the world, and you'll get an incredible spread of information on this.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I would suggest that people go to the opponents. I would go to RT, which is the Russian English news network,
mm-hmm.
and to Pravda, to Itar-Tass, and see what they're saying, and you'll get a clear picture of what they think is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Then thirdly, I would like to give you my analysis, which is that Putin is tried to put together a coalition. He came into a society, and he looked at the mess that was, and it looked like the West was going to loot all of Russian resources. I don't know if you remember all this stuff, but basically, the oligarchs were getting control of the Russian mineral resources, particularly now, just as they're doing in the Ukraine. Do you know about the gas pipeline deal where American companies were going to be operating the gas pipelines? And
I didn't know that there were specifically American companies.
Oh yeah, and then we have Biden's son, right, who was offered a high post. There, you know that one, right?
I do not. Tell me about that.
Oh, Joe Biden. Oh no, this is all a little thing to give Mr. Biden's son a job. You know, we're going to start the Third World War for that.
And he would be an executive of this American-based company.
Yeah, exactly. He's offering a job, and so it's basically with a coup plus, you know. So the pressure really was on the Russians. But let me give you my analysis of Putin. When Putin came in, he did very much what Napoleon Bonaparte did. He made an alliance part of the church, right?
Right.
Putin goes to Orthodox ceremonies, whatever he believes or doesn't believe. He presents himself as sort of a new czar,
mm-hmm.
Honoring the Orthodox Church. They've rebuilt all the churches that they can. They've rebuilt the Kremlin. You just go on and look at and so they are trying to create a different kind of state, really, very much like the Tsarist Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other elements of that state are the bureaucracy, the army, and the people, which are controlled by plebiscites, much as Bonaparte did. In other words, they'll give you a yea or nay, and Putin's popularity is extremely high, and he had it's very popular now. If they lose a war, it will not be so popular, but that is what he's tried to construct. Really saved the, you know, he basically is paying the pensions, and so that's one element of it. Another element is the turn to the East and the South, which, in other words, is, you know what BRICS is, right? Brazil, Russia, India,
yeah.
China, South mm-hmm. Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah. I agree with
and,
you.
And so he's basically going to try. I think he wants to seal his western border and turn to the south. And they've got this huge deal with China now to build a gas pipeline across Siberia and connect up with that. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure he is ambitious in the sense of wanting to recapture the Baltic states. But I do think he wants to seal this off, prevent any further penetration from the West, which is to say what the Ukraine was doing,
mm-hmm.
Seal that whole thing off on the West, willing to settle for her a tie or whatever you want to call it. But I think to him it means it's like a chess game. He'll settle for a tied match. He wants probably the southern part of Ukraine to connect up with the Crimea, and at that point he'll stop at least for a while. But I don't think he necessarily wants to go further. But then we're going to get a little stalemate, and then much of this whole controversy in parts of the press seems to be about the shift out of the dollar as the petrodollar and the currency for the currency that's to be used in international trade, and that is the big elephant in the room, and so you also inform yourself about that as well.
Yeah, it's getting to be more and more work just to keep up. I do appreciate
it is work to keep up, and it's a very, very, very dangerous situation. But yeah, the most dangerous thing we've seen since probably the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Go
on YouTube and listen to some of Putin's speeches.
Okay, I will do that.
In their entirety. I mean, he is a brilliant character. And so, and he answers all the questions, and he's addressed Western Europe with his analysis, and he was trying to play ball, and then he got shafted, and now they're just pissed. In fact, the whole society is pissed.
Yes, I agree with you.
But really, go to antiwar.com. Tell all the KBU listeners to go to that source. That is it's a source that will tell you. They will have all the stuff on Iraq, all the stuff on everywhere in the world. They'll have little headlines for every group, and you'll get a total spread of the entire world press.
Thank you very much. Thanks for
calling.
You're welcome,
Joe. We enjoy your show. So.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. Listen, I want to make something clear here. One of the poses that one takes in doing a talk show is that I know what the hell I'm saying and what the hell's going on and have superior knowledge. I don't. Some areas I know a lot about. This is an area in which I do not. And I really am glad for calls that set me straight, but more importantly, that tell everybody what they see as going on. I got a message here, a quick one, really a very useful one. I said Kaliningrad, which is actually Kaliningrad, and it is actually named after Mikhail Kalinin, 1875-46. And so, just a little detail historically. And I have to do this because that's why they don't pay me all the money that I get. At 9 on Alternative Radio, Chris Yanu, former chief surgeon for the International Committee of the Red Cross, speaks on understanding the Middle East. At 10, Air Cascadia is off today on Flashpoints. Former CIA officer Ray McGovern talks about U.S. policy in Syria and why we hear about current issues and that doesn't make sense. Well, also current issues in Haiti at 11, which you ought to know. Bad stuff in Haiti. Oh, boy, oh, boy. At 11 on stage in studio, D.M.A. Roberts talks with Antonio Sonara, a badass theater company, and Anita Menon of Anhali School of Dance. I got that right, finally. Who's creating Murder on the Ganges? And at 11:30 on Art Focus, Joseph Galavan interviews Brian Rogers, the executive director of the Oregon Arts Commission and the Oregon Cultural Trust. And we want to thank KBOO members for their generous support and urge you to give us a whole bunch of your money. Give us every cent you have and then go into debt for us or something. All right, 231-8187 is the number to call. We are talking about and focusing in on what I agree with many of the callers is soon to be an enormous crisis ridden with propaganda and misinformation about what is the intention of Russia in the West. And I actually suggested that the East Prussian area is another potential area of tension because, as you know, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania are now part of NATO. There's going to be apparently a 4,000-soldier force to impress the Russians. I don't think it will, with their power. And it is a situation in which Putin is, I think, essentially trying to recreate or create a new Russian empire, And his popularity really depends on, to a great extent, since he doesn't have great success in the economic sphere, it, really about the advance of nationalism out of the Russian sphere of influence. Want to hear from you. Your criticisms are welcome. I don't know that much. You may know more. Give me a call, 231-8187. Larry, you're on the air.
Hey, Joe. Great show. Two resources. One is Moon Over Alabama, which is a blog. It really does a lot of good analytical work. The other is Stephen Cohen, professor. He's been on Democracy Now! Quite a bit, talking about what's going on with the Ukraine and Russia. The third thing is, first, the criminal, even the criminal Henry Kissinger, said that Ukraine should be Finlandized in the sense that Finland is neither a part of NATO nor a part of the Russian equivalent of NATO.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
So the question you have to ask is, why would the U.S. in particular be so forthright in trying to force Ukraine into NATO? The second thing, which supports what that one fellow was criticizing mainstream media here in the U.S., mm-hmm. is that just last week, even Angela Merkel has publicly stated that there is no military solution, that the interests of Russia must be recognized, and that they've got to do business together. And just imagine if the Chinese were to cut deals in Mexico or Canada to put air bases there, or, you know, to set up some kind of a military alliance agreement, we would not buy that for 1 second. And the fact that NPR or the New York Times is not publicly reporting what Angela Merkel, who is now going against a bit of what the U.S. is pushing, they're not even talking about it, just tells you that the United States, again, is meddling in a place where they should not be. And it's just outrageous why we just can't all get along. Anyway.
I like the kind of nice ending you brought to that.
But yeah, right.
But no, that was useful information. I really appreciate it. Again, folks,
right.
I ain't no expert on the affairs of Russia. I still call it the Soviet Union. That shows you how out of it I am. And Ukraine and the northern areas of what was East Prussia. So you can enlighten me. You can yell at me if you want. But really, I want to hear your voices. This is really, for sure, your opportunity to show me your expertise and your thinking on the question of Ukraine and on the larger question of Soviet, or, gee, I did it again, of Russian advancement in the region. I want to hear from you. 231-8187. Who do we got? Jim, hi, you're on the air.
And here we are.
And here we are.
Okay, that connection is always a trepidation. Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up the topic, but boy, are you wrong.
Okay, straighten me out.
I really agree with this George thing. No, all the 50 or 60 years, or maybe you said it was 20 years, of mistakes that the U.S. government has made are not mistakes. Further, meddling is the wrong word for what the U.S. government is up to. No, they're not sticking sticks in hornets' nests just to see the chaos. They have a very specific goal, which is to get the oil. And Ukraine has those oil pipelines running across there.
Mm-hmm.
Before I get too far into the.
There's also at the Aral. It's called the Aral Sea. There's a lot of oil right there.
That's where it all started.
Yeah.
I wish you would stop saying Russian aggression or Putin aggression. Putin is the good guy. Putin is a dear. I really like that guy. He's not a he's defensive. All of this is defensive. But again, we can take these points up on different interests that you have. But first, I want to say the names of some reference websites, and please, people, write this down. One of my three favorites is Moon on Alabama, and I think the fellow before me, Larry, said Moon Over Alabama. I'm not sure it's Moon Over Alabama.
Well, it wouldn't take a lot of work to find one or the other.
you're going to have to work on it. You're not going to get it when you, if you use what Larry said.
Okay.
You're going to have to moon on Alabama.
Yeah.
And I think that's .org.
Do you know that the concept moon over Alabama was from a song from Mahogany?
And I'm not sure why this guy is playing with such a similar.
Well, it's
name,
probably a memory issue. Go ahead, though.
And I think he publishes in Serbia. That's where and his traffic has been blocked some days because he's putting out truth from the Ukrainian point of view, and he loves Putin. And he hates the right sector. The bigger word is Banderites, by the way, after Bandera. And that's a historical figure you probably know of. Mm-hmm. In any event, the second website that people just would love is called Vineyard, like Vineyard, mm-hmm. you know, where they grow grapes.
Right.
Vineyard Saker. A Saker are these trained hawks that they have in the vineyard who circle overhead. A saker is a hawk.
How do you spell that?
S-A-K-E-R.
Okay.
So vineyard is V-I-N-E.
Y-A-R-D, right.
R-D, vineyard, saker, and .com. He's wonderful. I think he's publishing also from Ukraine. He says he has a hawk's eye view of things. And he has the answer to one of your questions, what is to be done?
Okay.
He said the creation of Novo Russia. But
I'm sorry, a creation of a what?
Novo Russia, that's the name of another country. It would be the eastern half of Ukraine. Then leave the Banderites, the western half of Ukraine. He said that's what's going to end up in this, is a division of that country.
Well, it certainly looks like that.
The east and the eastern ones are. But maybe not. The Ukrainian, the right sector, what they call the Kiev army, mm-hmm. is losing awfully bad. And they are having a lot of deserters from the Ukraine army go over and join what you call the separatists or the rebels. But it's actually their neighbors. They live in East Ukraine. Ever since they shot down that plane, the Ukrainian army under this false dictator, Yatsenko or something, and he's the one, Victoria Nuland said, Yats is the man, mm-hmm. and the EU.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our own ambassador told Merkel to get off the boat. Are you there?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just quoting American ambassador. Sorry, I let that word out. the third website, before I forget it, and this one predates all of this. This guy is beautiful. His name is Dmitry Orlov. Club Orlov. C-L-U-B-O-R-L-O-V. Club Orlov. .blogspot.com. And if you haven't met him yet, oh, the man is beautiful. He was in the Soviet Union when it collapsed. He was in the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
One of his famous essays is The Best Practices for Social Collapse, because he sees the U.S. government is going to collapse also very soon, for as much as they are in the traces, in the trail of the Soviet Union and why it collapsed.
Hmm.
It's a little bit of what you've kept called the rising local nationalisms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the U.S., there are these rising local nationalisms. The South wants to be away from the Northeast, which wants to be away from the Midwest, which wants to be away from California, which wants to be away from the Northwest. And Texas, don't mess with Texas. They want to be away from everybody. Those are the regional nationalisms that are leading to the breakup of the U.S.
The only thing holding
Club Orlov. Blogspot.com.
Okay,
You've got a lot of reading to do, Joe. You've got a lot of reading to do.
I certainly do, and I do appreciate the calls.
It isn't just that you should criticize the mainstream media. You ought to turn against them. I mean, attack the New York Times. Many others are all over the Internet. It isn't just enough to say, oh, they're bumbling idiots. They don't know what they're doing. No, they do know what they're doing, and they intend to do us bad. Get off the kick that it's just fools up there. They didn't get in that position by being fools. They've got a plan, and they've got the resources, and they're coming for you.
I really appreciate the call, man, and I think you may well be right. I'm enjoying this a great deal. Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks for the show, Joe.
Okay, I don't know. Do we have time for another call? Let's... Adine.
Oh, hello?
Hi.
Hi, I'm Tadine.
Oh, sorry, Tadine. Hi.
Yeah, in Vancouver.
Uh-huh.
And I agree with the previous caller about Dmitry Orlov. He's very, very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to recommend another reading.
Okay.
Nation Magazine, August the 4th. And it's a very interesting article by the esteemed historian Stephen Cohen.
Yeah, I know Stephen Cohen, yeah.
Yeah, well, read this article because that's a good introduction to the misleading media that we have been fed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Putin is probably a real statesman, and he's showing admirable restraint because the public wants him to go to war, but he is not doing it. And I think that the thing that's really horrific are the sanctions that both sides have put in play, and who is affected? Ordinary people.
That's true.
You know, like our farmers now cannot import to Russia. Their markets are gone, but Russia has found other markets.
Mm-hmm.
So we're the ones that are being harmed.
Well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up. It, in fact, the sanctions are really ineffective and do, in fact, disconnect the United States and its farm communities with world markets.
Oh, yeah. And denying Visa and MasterCard, what Russia did then was issue China Union cards. And so who's benefit there? You know?
No, really,
I mean,
that's a good example.
There's a whole different story that some of the other callers have mentioned, all the websites that I have been following, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the public is woefully misled on this, and I hope you will get yourself up to speed on this.
Okay, thank you very much. And mm-hmm. Listen, folks, I really appreciate the criticism. No kidding. I am not an expert on this region. I did some very quick research today. In any sense, getting into depth on it. But what I'm seeing, and I think this is important, if I may make a little meta-analysis of this show, is it works because you are making it right. So I really want to hear from you, and I don't want to fall into some kind of defensive mode. I am not an expert. You are. Give me a call. Give us a call. Let us know. 231-8187. Yes. Oh, Joe, yes. Not me, him. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Pretty good, man.
Good name.
Oh, yeah, great name.
Anyway, I've heard very similar things to the last few callers. I mm-hmm. got on the internet. There's a site called The Real News.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's therealnews.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how the Eastern Ukrainian separatists were really just fighting for their lives, trying to protect their own land, their own cities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Western mm-hmm. fracking company that Joe Biden's son is the head of, they want to frack wherever they want to frack, and the people in the eastern Ukraine want at least some say over it. And the bad guys are the federal government in Kiev. And, the people in the eastern Ukraine are just trying to protect themselves. And Russia's really under attack by the West. They're being surrounded by Western powers, and all these sanctions against them and everything. They're really under attack.
Well, I agree. I think that when the West and Russia failed to come to an agreement, I think it was in 94, that would neutralize that whole region, the stage was set for the struggle that's going on now. And I think it's really important to understand that, as always, it's about minerals and wealth.
Yeah.
And the question of fracking, now this is a new one to me. You're saying that the intention of this company that Biden's son is involved in is to frack the hell out of that whole region.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
people,
that's scary.
don't want it, or at the very least, they want some say in it.
Uh-huh.
But government in Kiev doesn't want to give them any say in it. They just want to let the Western corporations do whatever they want.
Right. You know? And the introduction of this whole concept of this kind of right-wing government is really important in this context. When we talk about bloodlands, which we have, we really do need to understand that much of the Ukrainian nationalist movements in the past were really quite fascist, and that during World War II, we saw a rise of Ukrainian fascism that was unprecedented, and much of that involved the slaughtering of minority groups, including the Jewish people. So I think it's really important that we really delve into this on a level beyond the New York Times-y stuff.
Yeah, I've heard some of the Ukrainian military is actually full-on Nazi.
That could well be. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me.
Flying swastikas, flying the Nazi flag.
Wow. Okay, great. I mean, not great, but thank you for the information.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Thanks a lot for the call. We've got some more calls, I think, 231-8187. Who's next? Jack, you're on the air.
Yes, I'll try to make it short because that seems to be imperative. What we've seen since the collapse of the Soviet Union is we've seen brush fires on all the borders of Russia, all the way from the Baltic to the Caspian Sea, and all of this stuff has been instigated by NATO. The intention is to destabilize essentially all the self-determinant countries in the world to make fertile ground for the IMF World Bank hegemons to do what they do best, which is basically just get in and put everybody under draconian debt servitude. And there's not a big mystery about it here. And if you do report it from the point of view of the MSM, you're doing a big disservice to your listeners. I would point people to Global Research. I would point people to Tarpley.net. Webster Tarpley is one of the most incisive analysts.
Can you say that again?
Global Research is an easy one to find.
Yeah.
Another analyst who I don't think people at KBOO care for him too much because of his past is Webster Griffin Tarpley at Tarpley.net, T-A-R-P-L-E-Y. He's pretty incisive on all of this stuff. You know, you can look at what he has to say about ISIS, and this is well known all over the internet. This is widely reported. They were trained. They were brought up by NATO. NATO CIA, MI6 were in Jordan training these guys, and they're funded by the Saudis. It's that simple. And they're doing the same kind of thing in Ukraine. They started these color revolutions all over the place. These things are all ginned up operations. They're intelligence operations. And the point is to destabilize and take down any kind of self-determinant organization that can defend its populations against the IMF World Bank hegemons. They did it in Libya. They did it in spades. And I really, really resent KBOO for nobody there standing up and saying, look what Democracy Now! Is doing, bringing Juan Cole out every other day practically to shill the NATO agitprop, the war propaganda that led to that whole horrible thing. And look what they got there now. And that's what's planned for the whole region. And that it is a complex thing, but if you can boil it down to that, there you go. And I'm going to get off and just let you take another call.
I really appreciate it. And I want to make something very clear to people. This is, from my point of view, what this show ought to be. It is not about my or Abe's expertise and your participation. It is about you and your knowledge. Thank you very much on my part and on the part of KBOO. There's much to be discussed here. I suspect we'll be talking about this into the future. Thank you. And you stay tuned because here it is, KBOO, where discussion does take place, where we are open, I think, and where we have the best music in the entire region.
From those nets to Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the end.
We'll go and see the big Rock Candy Mountain. In the big Rock Candy Mountain.
Tune in to KBOO Monday, September 8th for a special live broadcast from the Steam Radio Syndicate. Broadcasting from the tugboat north of the St. John's Bridge, the Steam Radio Syndicate has put together another great hour of storytelling with musicians, authors, and poets creating songs and stories inspired by the old American folk song, Big Rock Candy Mountain. That's the Steam Radio Syndicate broadcasting live on Monday, September 8th from 7 to 8 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Enemigo Imperialismo, Enemy Imperialism, a bilingual community art exhibit that explores the dimensions of imperialism in the world today. The opening of this art show will be Friday, September 5th at 6 p.m. at the Independent Publishing Resource Center, 1001 Southeast Division Street in Portland. Artists around the world have responded to violence with work that questions the legitimacy of the state and empire. Enemigo Imperialismo points to one of our common targets in the fight for global justice and invites us to reflect on power, resistance, and self-determination. Again, that's Enemigo Imperialismo. The opening of this art show will be Friday, September 5th at 6 p.m. at the Independent Publishing Resource in Southeast Division Street in Portland. The show will be up until September 25th. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's 9 o'clock. Here's what's coming up this morning on KBOO. First on Alternative Radio, Chris Yanu, former chief surgeon for the International Committee of the Red Cross, speaks on understanding the Middle East. At 10, Air Cascadia is off today. On Flashpoints, guest host Kevin Pina speaks with former CIA officer Ray McGovern about his U.S. policy in Syria, and with political analyst Franz Jerome about Haiti and the campaign against former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. At 11 on Stage and Studio, host D-May Roberts talks with Antonio Sanera of Badass Theater Company, who's directing San Merci, and Anita Menon of the Anjali School of Dance, who's creating Murder on the Ganges. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews Brian Rogers, of the executive director of the Oregon Arts Commission and the Oregon Cultural Trust, about what the commission does, the importance of the arts in job creation.